The miracles of Christmas have been something that we have been looking at for the last several weeks, and today we come to the miracle gifts of Christmas. And so in Luke chapter 2, if you want to turn there, we're going to just take a look at a few of the verses there. Not all of them will be up on the slides, but some of them will be. But we begin in verse 3, the miracle of Christmas, Jesus Christ incarnate. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Again, you want to keep in mind, we read that, that's part of the story and part of the journey, that because of where David was from, this was the first time where a census was taken. And in this census, it required some significant travel here, so I want you to note that. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed, because she was there within the month of her due date, for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. When you and I began to reflect on just, you know, what some of the miracles are, and we started this morning to look at it, one of the things that I believe stands out in this passage is the fact that out of Bethlehem, something absolutely amazing would come. See, there's something of really a biblical truth that you and I ought to remember, is that God would choose and does, he chooses the most improbable places to release his power. I mean, when you begin to think about the fact that he chose Bethlehem, you'll see there in the passage of Micah, it tells us that Bethlehem was basically, it says, through you arise little among the thousands of Judah. In other words, that scripture is saying, Bethlehem, you aren't much of anything. Yet out of you would come the Savior of the world. And when I see that, I'm reminded that God would choose and remind us that from where we are and where we come from, God would choose that place to do a miraculous thing. I mean, who would think anything of a miracle could happen in Bremerton or Port Orchard or Silverdale or Gorst? I mean, you begin to think about it, you know, why would God do anything that's noteworthy in our neighborhood? I mean, think about how many times you've driven home. Tonight you're going to drive home, and you look at all the houses you drive by, and you think of your neighbors, and you think, would God do anything great in your neighborhood? Would anything come out of your own home that would be significant and noteworthy? Here is what is the miracle of Christmas. The answer is yes, God would do amazing things right from where you are. And you would even say, that is pretty unlikely. What good could come from my neighborhood? Or what good could come from my city? What good could come from my home? You think my home isn't worthy of anything significant happening by way of a godly thing. And here's the word of saying is, that's not true. The fact is, God can do an absolute amazing miracle right out of your own home. I want you to begin to think about that. That one of the most amazing Christmas miracles would be the fact that something absolutely astounding would come right from where you live. We read that they were on a journey, and you know the story, that unfortunately because of a government decree, again, I mean, you have to realize Mary was, and we talked about this, Mary had become pregnant by way of the Holy Spirit, and she was basically, she had 1 month left. Now, for those of you that have been pregnant the last month, that's a little bit uncomfortable. And for those of you that have watched, we agree, it is uncomfortable. And as we see that, can you imagine, here it is that, you know, I've watched my daughter-in-law and I've watched, you know, pregnancy, and I have to tell you, I'm glad that I watched And that was it. But when you begin to think, I think I could not have imagined coming to my wife in the last month saying, hey, we need to go on a trip, a long trip, and we're going to have to go live someplace else for the next month or two. Now, it would make it worse if I went to her and said, and by the way, we need to go from Bremerton to Portland, and we're going to do it on a donkey. Now, that is a horrible thing. Can you imagine having to go from where they were living all the way to Bethlehem on a donkey? And this is her last month of pregnancy. Man, don't you feel sorry for Joseph? He's got to make the way, right? I mean, for both of them, it could be a little bit rough, right? And you begin to think, I mean, Joseph, I can imagine Joseph going to his wife saying, I am so sorry. I mean, I wish I had been born there. Yet we have no choice. This is a government. You have to realize that had they not followed the edict of the Roman government, they could be imprisoned or they could have been killed for disobedience. This was a big deal. It wasn't one of those things like where, you know, you don't have to go or somehow you could, you know, decide not to make this trip. They had no choice. And I would imagine at some point on the journey, riding on a donkey, going all the way to Bethlehem, one of them might have said, now, what was it that the angel said to you? I mean, was that really an angel? And is this really happening right now? I mean, can you imagine all of a sudden things are not working out like they thought they would? God says, I'm going to do a miraculous miracle work in your life. I am going to use you to be the vessel of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are going to bring about God's only begotten Son. Oh, by the way, you're going to be on a donkey riding to Bethlehem on a long journey that is terribly uncomfortable. I want you to understand that just because things get uncomfortable doesn't mean you're still not within God's will. Just because things are not working out as perhaps you hoped they would, doesn't mean that you haven't heard from God. That's why I said, just because you're riding on a donkey doesn't mean you're on the wrong road. It might feel like it. It might seem like it. But that's not necessarily the case. I think sometimes we make a mistake in associating the lack of problems, the issues that sometimes come up, and we think it's only God's will and I've only heard from God when everything is seamless and smooth. That all of a sudden I hit a rough road or I hit bumps in the road and somehow that's not God. It's interesting because I brought this passage up as a parallel passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That is why we never give up. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. In other words, we keep looking forward. Sometimes we get lost in some of the trials and tribulations and the things we go through. And the word to us is, I'm doing a miracle in you, and just because it isn't working the way you thought it ought to work doesn't mean I'm not doing a miracle. I've been through and been a part of a lot of miracles, and I've noticed that sometimes the road just isn't all that clear. But sometimes you got to push through the circumstances. Sometimes you got to push through the trouble and keep going. I've learned something that perseverance, hanging in there, can make a huge difference. You got to learn, as Mary did, to trust in God. I believe that there are a number of amazing gifts that God would bring to us in the midst of the journey that we might be on. And however it is that we might be going forward, I believe there are some miracles I want you to consider. Different types of miracles that often we don't associate as a miracle gift on Christmas. One of which is the gift of God's peace. I have a feeling that if I could put God's peace into a package and give it to you and let you unwrap it, I have a feeling that would be the best gift you could ever receive. Because how often do I hear the story, and you and I can reflect in our own life and see an absence of peace? It's interesting with Jesus. He even called it a gift. He said, I'm leaving you with a gift. I'm leaving you with grace. I'm leaving you with something that you don't necessarily are going to earn. This is not something that you can work out. But I'm going to give you this gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. God does something in us that is absolutely miraculous. And I have to tell you, when I have talked to people over these years, one of the most important things I see people desirous of and pursuing is peace. The ability to be able to fall asleep in peace. To be able to wake up feeling peace. Being able to go through the day without all the worries and the anxieties and the tensions that often come into a human being's life. And God says, I've got this. Look what he says in Philippians. The word tells us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. If you do this, look what it says. You will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen to that, church? What an amazing gift. I believe God has a gift for us of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about this passage in Peter, and he's talking to the crowd, if you will. He says, repent and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And this is a part sometimes we miss. He says something absolutely amazing, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Sometimes we forget that when you receive Jesus and you come into this amazing time of giving your life over to Jesus as your Savior, you've got to realize that it comes with a gift. I mean, all of a sudden your life is in his hands. He says, here, let me give you something special. And that special is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you think about that gift. Often we tend to focus on the gifts of the Spirit. We think of all the miraculous things. But what about this amazing gift that imparts so much? See, we often focus on some of the little things, and they may not seem very little, but all these little, the 31 gifts that we focus in on in the Word of God. But we forget this amazing big picture. You receive Jesus. And God says, you know what? I have something very special for you. I have something that will bring comfort and counsel and hope. I have something for you that will help you get through the day. I have something that when it looks like it's too much, I have a gift that will never, ever end. I have the gift of the Holy Spirit that can work in your life every day, every minute, for the rest of your life. Now that is an amazing gift. And when you think about all that goes on in your life, don't ever forget that you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, he says with that in Romans 2:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Often we say that and it kind of just rolls off, and I think we forget about the gift of eternal life. See, when you go to sleep tonight, you have a gift of eternal life. When you wake up tomorrow morning, it's still there. No one can take it away. So no matter what happens to you in life, whatever might come your way, that gift is a guarantee. God says, my passion, my zeal is the guarantee of this gift for you, that you know what? No matter what happens when that day comes and you breathe your last breath, you keep on going. It isn't over. There's still more. I was thinking about some of the things and the events of my recent past with my mom and thinking about the fact that for her, she did not receive the Lord. And for her, all of heaven was what she would have known here. And then when she breathed her last, because there was nothing else, then what would have happened? You see, that gift wasn't there. And I realized that only through Jesus Christ can we have that amazing gift. That's why it's so important and precious, because then we keep going. Nothing else will work. There is no other religion. There is no other path that clearly marks the way into eternity. There's lots of suggestions out there. There's lots of ideas that want to suggest somehow we might continue. But the reality is there is only one way. And Jesus made it absolutely clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that is something that is precious. What an amazing gift that we can receive because we have Jesus in our life. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I believe that there's the gift of God's grace. Again, it kind of goes along with what we're talking about. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It, grace, is a gift from God. I love that. Grace is a gift. It's pretty incredible to realize that what we receive, you don't earn or work for. God says, receive me, love me, I'm going to love you, I've already loved you, and what I have for you is this amazing grace that comes in your life. It's one of the reasons why we're going to study grace in a few weeks as we get into the new year, because I thought, we don't understand grace. We live in a world where there's not a lot of grace. I'm not talking about just being gracious. I mean, that's part of it. But we live in such a performance-oriented world. So much of our life is performance. You go to school. You perform, right? You get grades. And so you grade it on your schoolwork. You get a job, and you get a paycheck. That kind of feels like, well, it's kind of like performance, right? You get a paycheck. Or you have, you know, once a year, every 6 months, you get a performance review, right? We look forward to sitting down and hearing those reviews. I mean, could you imagine if God gave you a performance review? Oh, what a great idea. You could come in and see Pastor Steve once a year. Carly, come on in. Let's do a performance review. Let's see how you're doing. I'm going to grade you. And if you don't pass, well, you got to go back and do it again. Doesn't that sound kind of silly? You see, that's why this gift is so amazing, because it speaks of grace. And that it isn't about our performance, it's about the love of God. Amen. The final gift I wanted to share with you is this amazing gift that Jesus is our light. It says the Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The one who is a true light, who gives light to everyone, is coming into the world. We talked about this morning how the Word brings life. Life brings light. Oh, how amazing is that? In the light of God, miracles happen. Changes take place. We begin to think about the power of, I want you to reflect with me, the power of God's light. It is the power that can destroy sin. It's the power that brings healing. It is the power that does absolutely amazing things in our life when you think about the things that we want to see change. I think of one of the things is fear. Fear is something that in the light of God, He explodes it. Fear can be destroyed if you hit the plane. I'm going to get rid of fear. Fear is going to go away. Okay. God's light works every time. You just have to hit it. Now I have a list here. Death, loss, insecurity, woundedness, isolation. In the light of God, guess what happens? It goes away. You'll notice you can't see this anywhere, can you? Isn't that great how God totally removes it all? This is a big one. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Let that flash represent what the light of God can do in our life. When we light the candle, I want you to reflect on light. I want you to look at the candle. I want you to be able to study it, look at its light, and think, God, in the same way I just watched the utter destruction of those things by this candle, God, your light can do amazing things in my life. And think about those things that you want God to work in you.